tip today in association with Slattery's of Pecan, your main Peugeot dealer for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Gurbina Mahagat Pant, and welcome along to the second hour of Tip Today. You can text and WhatsApp 083 311 3311, and of course you can email tiptoday@tipfm.com. Now glad to be joined by our GP, Dr. Pat Harold. Good morning to you, Pat.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Good to talk to you today. Vaccination, Pat. Where are we in Tipperary with rollouts, or what do you know of that, Pat?
Well, the GPs are going nicely. I'd say we have just about everybody over 70 has at least one shot. Now, there's always the odd straggler, you know. Mm. It's a bit like a wedding, you know. You're just up there to talk, and you're like, God, where's your man? You know.
Yeah.
And what I think now at this stage is, I know we say, wait, we'll call you, don't call us. But I think if anyone over 70 hasn't been called for at least the first yet, you might gently remind them that you're there. We're moving on to the 4A and 7, which sounds rather grand, but that's the people who have, are under 60 mm-hmm. with underlying health conditions. Now, the 60 to 69 age group are going to be done by the public health system, mm-hmm. not a GP thing. We don't have vaccines available for you. Mm. So that's just the way it is.
Why is that, Pat? Because I just don't fully understand that.
Well, they have the AstraZeneca vaccine, mm. which, you know, gives you 80% protection.
Right.
And I think they've been overcautious. It seems to be, you know, I was watching a lot of the very top eminent immunologists and people like that on the television the last couple of nights, and they seem to all think that the, you know, if there was no other vaccine available, the Astra would be used throughout the world on everybody. Mm. It's fine. You know, there's a tiny, tiny, tiny chance, sort of one in a million, that you might get this blood clot, which they're now actually on top of. I believe, you know, heparin injections. Do you know when you're in a hospital and you give your leg donors?
Yes, it thins the blood or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little jab they give you the tummy. That can have the same rare side effect. And they have a treatment for it now. It's immunoglobulins, which are in every hospital in the world. Mm. So, I mean, it's not that the chances of getting it are tiny. You're far more likely to be killed in a car crash or something.
Yeah.
But at the time, about a week or two ago, they were thinking this does seem to be slightly more prevalent in the younger age group, so we'll avoid it in the younger age group just to be sure.
Mm.
And now the 60 to 69s were feeling a bit aggrieved, like they're really not important, I think was the feeling they mm-hmm. had, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of letters in the papers over the weekend. I could feel like I remind the government, we are the ones who vote, you know. I think this was because, I don't know, Stephen Donnelly went off in a kind of a solo run and said maybe we should vaccinate the young ones because they're likely to be the ones out in the lash. He didn't put it in so many words, you know.
But that's what he meant, yeah.
But it was maybe scientifically sound, but politically naive.
Yeah.
And so it this move there. Now, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been passed for Europe as safe to use.
Mm.
So they're hoping it won't be not as stringent. And this is the one that's the one dose. Initially, it was hoped that you'd use it on people who are homeless, people who are members of sort of indigenous minorities who might be a bit difficult to pin down for the second group.
Yes.
And get them sorted so they will be done and dusted. So this is a new one in the mix. So now there's four vaccines trotting around. So and then there's talk of extending the vaccine out. And to be honest, I wouldn't be in favour of that, man. For logistical reasons, because the GPs are giving the everyone from 18 to 60 who's got an underlying condition, and we hope to be done and dusted with them by the 4th of July.
Right.
And if we push it out, we'll probably be at it till well into late summer. And, you know, we've other stuff to be getting along with. Like, I mean, it's a huge lump. I mean, some GPs are doing it on a Saturday. We spend the whole Friday at it, you know, and that means that your whole week is truncated and you've got to do all the other stuff Monday to Thursday, which is definitely...
I just can't understand why the pharmacists aren't been brought into this, Pat.
The pharmacists are talking about doing the Johnson & Johnson and the guidelines come out for that.
Mm.
The thing is, you have to sit for 15 minutes afterwards.
Mm.
So if you've got not too many pharmacists to the big enough premises where you can sit with somebody keeping an eye on you for 15 minutes,
mm.
you know. And with social distancing and everything, it's not like you could put five or six people in a room together.
Right, yeah.
So it's just, you see, there's the science and there's the logistics and there's the politics. So you've got to sort of put them all into the mix and do. The good news is they're not quite hitting the 250,000 week they're talking about, but they're certainly not too far away from it. And it's rolling on, and by, you know, if once you hit that lovely number of 60% herd immunity, that's what Israel suddenly saw this huge difference, and they're seeing it in the UK, where you can just sort of jump around and we're out the gap. You know, that's the expression. And if you just think that vaccinations don't work, just look at the difference of what's going on in Brazil and look at what's going on in Israel. And it's quite evident that it's hugely different.
Absolutely. Brazil is such a, you know, such a tragedy over there at the moment.
They don't deserve that. Nobody deserves that.
Absolutely terrible indeed. Great to see our hospital numbers going down as well, Pat, isn't it?
Yeah. All the parameters in the right way. Yeah. ICU, hospital numbers, everything are coming down. Having said that, to use the expression, they haven't gone away, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I've noticed a lot of people ringing us in Nina in the last 2 days. And the Nina area, just it's the only one I can really speak for, personal experience, there seems to be an awful lot of it out there. So be very careful.
Right, okay. And a lot of it out there around the Nina area, you're saying?
I mean, a lot of people testing positive. So it's still out there.
Yeah, I was surprised at the low numbers of take up of the freebie test in care, for example. Now I know some people did avail of it, but I thought they would have been inundated with people, but they weren't. It was modest enough.
Yeah, I suppose. But you have to queue up.
Didn't seem to. They managed it extremely well there, but I thought far more people would avail of that, but. There you go. It just goes to show you. So, Pat, you think there's light at the end of the tunnel somewhere?
Oh, there's definitely light at the end of the tunnel. If you thought that there'd even four vaccines, you know, they're being going around. I mean, it's amazing that we can do it so fast. And I think it won't be long now till we're getting back to normal a bit.
Okay.
You know? Well,
and we'll be sitting in a public house in Nina, and you can tell me all your troubles, Pat. I'll listen. I really will, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely, Fran. Somebody said to me, I'm listening to two of us. It's like listening to two lads in a pub. And I don't know if he meant that in a good way or a bad way, you know.
One of our listeners said to ask you a question earlier on, and that was, why is it so hard to get an appointment with a GP? You know, I presume they meant a face-to-face.
Okay, listener. It probably is because I may as well tell you the phones are hopping. We've taken on a huge extra workload with this vaccination program. I mean, GPs have vaccinated over 1 million people in Ireland, and we're set to do another 500,000. The pubs have been shut for 400 days. We've been open basically handling practically the whole health service because all the hospital outpatients and everything have been closed. Not all of them, but a hell of a lot of them have. And operations and things are all delayed. So we've been handling all that for 400 days. We're wrecked. We're tired. Mm. We've had no holidays. We're doing our very best. And, you know, it is difficult to get an appointment, I'm sure. One of the great things about Irish general practice is you generally will get an appointment the same day if you need it and if you're sick.
Yeah.
And we're really trying to hang on to that. But the whole system was very underfunded and undermanaged before this thing hit.
Mm.
So, you know, we've been carrying it all we can, which is why we're so happy. I think that this our part in the vaccination program will be finished by the first week in July, but you have to start to realise that you know we've had a huge extra burden on what we're doing. So I can't speak for every GP practice in Ireland, but it is difficult. But you know what? You will get an appointment, and it mightn't be easy, but we're still there and we're still swinging. Is that good enough?
Fair enough. It is indeed a good answer. Anne was on to us to say, would Dr. Pat tell me how effective AstraZeneca is after the first dose?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure. I know you're talking about 80% with the second dose.
Yes.
And if you put it out to 12 weeks, it's more effective than if you get the second dose within the... But I'm not sure if it's over the 60%. You see, it's very difficult to give advice, you know.
Yeah.
But you say to people who've had most of them is you wait 2 weeks after the second dose to get the maximum benefit.
Mm.
And they're hoping that it'll last for a good long while. And one of the things about Astra, and I've heard talk, and this isn't written in stone, but you might have actually long a very long benefit, you know, from Astra. But I'm not too sure after the first dose off the top of my head.
The only thing that concerned me was hearing about the nursing home where everybody was vaccinated, including the staff, and still two of the staff members tested, even though they were asymptomatic, they tested for COVID. I just found that rather interesting.
That's not unexpected. If you look at what happened in America, where there's millions and millions and millions of people vaccinated, there's still something from a few hundred to a few thousand will get it, you know. Right. They say it's 96%, there's still 4%. And if you're something like a nursing home or you're in close contact, but the good news seems to be that the people who get it won't get terribly sick.
Yes, yeah.
And they won't be hospitalised and they won't die.
Right.
Even if they test properly. So, I mean, that's not unexpected. You never get 100% vaccine.
Right, so you wouldn't be terribly worried about that?
I wouldn't be worried about that.
Okay, all right. You're going to talk to us a little bit about exposure to the sun and stuff. Now, we don't get that much of it, but when we do, we sort of do the dog on it, don't we?
Oh, we do, and it's absolutely lovely today, and it's fixed to be lovely till the weekend, so I thought I'd come along and just give you a little bit of advice about staying safe.
Yeah.
But the first thing is, what people do is they go and they find that old bottle of sun cream there since we went to Lanzarote 3 years ago, and it's in there, and it's probably gone off. You know, there might be an expiry date in it, but generally if it's open for a year, it's done for. Actually, I often thought, you know, if you do go to a hot country and you see lovely trays and trays and trays of you know, sun cream sitting outside sizzling in the sun, that's probably gone off as well.
Right.
You know, it should be sort of kept out of the sun. But there's sunscreen and sunblock. Now, the UVA comes first along into your skin and it causes sunburn, and the UVB causes suntan and doesn't do quite as much damage. But so the sunscreen blocks out the UVA. So there's and there's various strengths. Now, anything below 15 probably isn't going to do you much good on an Irish skin, but you don't need to be getting the stuff that's 50, 60 because that's madly expensive. And if it's something madly expensive, you tend to use it very sparingly.
Yeah, yeah.
So 15 to 30, you get it and you slap it on every opportunity. And there's also some block which people use generally in kids, like zinc oxide or something, and it's kind of creamy and sticky and you slap it on. There's a bit of a thing about it though. If you use the sun block and the sun cream, this is the time of year now where people tend to go out and get burnt to bits and scalded, and that can lead to trouble in later life. And by trouble I mean skin cancers and things.
Yes.
So there's very good reason, and don't let kiddies get burnt. Just don't let them get burned, you know.
Right.
It's just not good for them.
Yeah, we're just not designed for the sun. And, you know, you hear people saying the most stupid things. Oh, I'm dark-skinned, I don't have any problem with the sun. But of course they do.
Ah, they do, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, even dark-skinned skin can burn, and no matter how dark it is. And if it's not used to it, you know, there is no sort of UVB tan. Now, another thing is some tan out of a bottle. That doesn't protect you at all.
Right,
you know,
okay.
And sunbeds are just a bad idea, and don't use them.
At all?
You know,
at all.
Okay. Sunbeds, I mean, they're not open anyway. But the thing about sunscreens and sunblocks is, you know, people think, I'm covered now, I can head out. And, you know, you still need, the peak time is sort of from about 11:30 to about 2:30. And that's when the sun is high in the sky, and that's when you'll burn. Now, having said that, we've been talking about vitamin D all winter. You need plenty of vitamin D. So if you go out with about a quarter of yourself uncovered in the sun for about 20 minutes, that's lovely, you know.
Right.
And it's a lot of it gets in through your eyes and everything about three times a week. But the trick is not to get burned. And the hat is very... I don't know anyone who looks good in a baseball cap. No, not even Jürgen Klopp, much as we love him. Like Brad Pitt might get away with
maybe.
But baseball caps are pretty rubbish because the Irishman generally has sun damage to his ears and his neck. You know the farmer's neck? Look.
Yes, I do, yeah. The farmer's tan, yeah.
That cap, yeah, and the red-haired and the tops of their ears. They're in an awful state when they get older. So what you really want is the big floppy hat, which nobody's going to wear up the town. But if you're in the garden, you know, a nice sort of a floppy hat that will cover your ears and your neck and everything like that is absolutely great. And if nobody sees you, they might think that you're a bit eccentric. But and long sleeves and then enjoy the sun,
absolutely.
Enjoy the sun, but don't get burned.
All right, and pick up our vitamin. What is the vitamin D? Is that what we
vitamin
get
vitamin D is the sunshine vitamin.
Oh,
yeah,
I'll tell you
but
that.
You know, most people probably need a bit of a supplement, especially seeing as it seems to be good against the COVID. But hopefully, we probably won't be talking about COVID at all in the autumn.
Wouldn't it be great? Listen, Pat, always a pleasure. Thank you for your time today. Thank you, Pat. Bye-bye. That's our GP, the hugely popular Dr. Pat Harold with us this morning, 1800-938-007. The text and WhatsApp is 083-311-3311.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry. In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.